This is KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder and KGNU 1390 Denver. Up next, the Opera Box.
All of us here at KGNU would like to wish our listeners a Happy New Year. For our community across the Front Range and around the world, I would particularly like to thank our listener members who made year-end contributions to ensure that KGNU remains vibrant and strong in the coming year. Because of you, we are able to keep you updated, enriched, and entertained for every day of the year. Here's to a bright and beautiful 2023 for everyone in the KGN universe.
Did you know you can stream KGNU from your phone, computer, and other digital players? Download the app for the on-demand digital content of your favorite KGNU programs. Make sure to follow KGNU on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for special updates and more. Thank you for listening to and supporting community-powered KGNU.
Support comes from Paramount Theater in downtown Denver, celebrating the 25th anniversary of the instrumental ensemble Jazz is Dead by honoring the 50th anniversary of the Grateful Dead's Wake of the Flood. Jazz is Dead on Sunday, January 15th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets at ParamountDenver.com.
Support comes from H.B. Wood Songs, your local music shop located at 3101 28th Street in Boulder. H.B. Wood Songs features a collection of folk, band, and orchestra instruments for both rent or sale. More information can be found at hbwoodsongs.com.
Good evening and welcome to the Opera Box. My name's Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next hour. Tonight, a special treat. I'll be talking with the two principals from the Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado who are staging the early 18th century Spanish opera La Púrpura de la Rosa, The Blood of the Rose, on January 27 and 29 at the historic St. Cajetan Center on the Auraria campus of the University of Colorado, Denver. BCOC Music Director Frank Nowell and Guest Director Soprano Nell Snedus. Before we hear from Frank and Nell, let's listen to Nell Snedus singing an aria by the Mexican Baroque composer Rafael Antonio Castellanos.
Thank you.
Richard Zavino led El Mundo in a performance of Oxygen una Jacaria. You're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU. The soprano you just heard is Nell Snaitis, who is my guest tonight, along with the Boulder Chamber Orchestra of Colorado's artistic director, Frank Nowell. The two of them are collaborating on a production of Tomás de Torreón y Velasco's 1701 opera, La Púrpura de la Rosa, which the BCOC will stage Friday, January 27, and Sunday, January 29, at the St. Cajetan Center on UCD's Auraria campus in downtown Denver. Nell Snaitis and Frank Nowell, welcome to KGNU.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thank you. It's great to talk with you.
Frank, for the five people who haven't heard of the Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado, could you talk a little bit about your organization? What do you do? Where do you perform? You're in your 17th season.
Wow.
And Frank, you're the founder, the music director, jack of all trades.
Right. Right. Yeah. Hard to believe that we're in our 17th season, for me anyway. Our name sort of describes everything we do. We're a chamber orchestra, and we have a core of about 15 people, and then we expand and contract as the music demands. But we have that core of about 15 players, mostly from Colorado, but also from other cities. And the Baroque part, of course, says what kind of music we do. And Colorado says that we're mostly centered in Denver, but we also go to other cities in Colorado and mountain towns occasionally. And we are a period instrument ensemble. So we play music from the Baroque era. People are most familiar with Bach, Vivaldi, and Handel, but that period also goes back all the way to the early 17th century. And we do all of that music from roughly 1600 to 1760 on period instruments. And we pay attention to historical style when we perform. And so I think an important part of our mission is to not only do those favorite pieces. For example, we did Vivaldi's Four Seasons just a few months ago, and that's probably the best known of all Baroque music. We do music, lots of music by Bach and Handel, but we also look for those pieces that are not performed very often in our region, really. And this opera, in fact, is one of those. And so we really look for those hidden gems in the repertoire and bring them to life for Colorado audiences.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, and I hope I get this pronunciation correct, La Púrpura de la Rosa.
Bravissimo.
Is that good?
Very good. Perfect.
Okay. It's the Blood of the Rose, and it was actually, my understanding, it's the first opera ever to be performed in the Americas in Lima in 1701. Right, Nell, I'm gonna ask you if you could take us back a little bit to your history with La Púrpura de la Rosa.
Well, I suppose I first became aware of the opera maybe in the late 90s or around 2000. And then there was this magnificent recording and production that came out, which was headed up by Andrew Lawrence King, who is the foremost Baroque harpist in the world. And he, in Spain, during the Baroque period, the king of instruments at that time really was the harp. And so the main court composer who composed all these Spanish operas, Juan Hidalgo, he was a harp player. And if you think about it, you know, it's you have the whole orchestra there in the harp if you really know how to play it. So Andrew Lawrence King made this incredible recording, but also he collaborated with a wonderful scholar of Spanish music whose name is Louise K. Stein, who's in, I believe, at the University of Michigan. And she put together a really beautiful edition, which is one of the editions that we will be working from. And so I first heard the recording, and it's just riveting and gorgeous. And I suggested a few cuts for you to play for the audience, which I think anyone listening, if you hear even a snippet of this recording, you'll probably want to come to the show. But that's how I was introduced to the piece, and had heard snippets of it over the years. And I was I've never performed it myself. In fact, I've directed it now twice as stage director. I first had an encounter directing it at the Madison Early Music Festival, and I worked with a wonderful harp player named Krista Patton. And we worked with, you know, kind of grad students who were at the festival learning how to perform in Baroque style. And so that was my very first encounter with the performance of it. And one of my great passions is to bring Baroque gesture alive in the modern era. In the Baroque period, there was an entire vocabulary of gestures. If you go into a museum and you see any Baroque painting, you'll see how each character in a painting has their hands. You know, there's always like one hand in opposition, and there's nothing straight and even about Baroque painting, right? There's, you know, there will be like the fingers will all be slightly held differently. One finger will be up and the other are curled. And there was just, everybody knew that's how you stood on stage. That's how you would not only connect with the audience through text, but you would do something with your hands that would let the audience know about your character. So for example, you know, you gesture with your right hand most of the time. If a character comes on stage and begins to gesture with the left hand, you know immediately that they're lying, they're a bad character. But it really was that understood. And it's completely fun to learn about, you know, all of these kinds of stagecraft protocols from the Baroque period. If you don't know them, though, who cares if you walk out on stage and lift your right hand or your left hand? No, we wouldn't know. But what's, I think, fun is to try to incorporate that Baroque staging in a way that if you know, as the kids say. But I mean, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, you'll still get it because it will be dynamic. And I have a kind of a funny career where I'm a specialist in Baroque music, but I also worked on Broadway and did some a lot of stage experience. And have a lot of experience, you know, working with stage directors who bring a lot of like razzle dazzle, but you know, that the staging is electric and that the communication is electric. And so in my stage direction, I always hope to electrify the Baroque gestures so that they really, you know, come out to the audience and it can be hit with a wave of energy rather than a snore or not, a thud.
Not unlike a huge chandelier coming over the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
To name but one musical that I know that you've been in. So you'll be directing. You'll literally be doing the stage direction. But my understanding is that you've also had a huge hand in the instrumentation. And are you going to be performing?
I'm not singing.
All? No,
I might be playing the guitar. We'll see.
Ah, because you're a soprano. You're a trained soprano. You also play guitar, but the Baroque guitar, right? Is that your primary?
My personal specialty is the Renaissance guitar, which is the, you know, great grandmother of the ukulele. So it's, you know, four course, my dog has fleas, you know, tuned like that. But that was really one of the rhythm instruments of the Baroque period. In a production of any Spanish opera from this period, you would have tons of plucked strings, harps, you know, all various sizes of guitars and lutes, so that there would be a huge wash of plucky sounds. So it's possible that I will play. It just depends. I've been cobbling the score together from the beautiful Louise K. Stein score. There's a Robert Stevenson score. He's another one of our American scholars of Latin American music. And so I've been putting the two together and, you know, because this is actually an abridged version that we're doing. I've cut it down. So that's another musicological hat that I'm wearing.
I'm talking this evening with Frank Nowell and Nell Snaitis, who are producing two performances of La Púrpura de la Rosa on January 27 and 29 in Denver. Details and tickets at bcocolorado.org. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. La Púrpura de la Rosa, or Blood of the Rose, is subtitled The Love of Venus and Adonis. Here they are, along with a chorus of muses, from Tomás de Torrejón y Velasco's 1701 opera. mezzo-soprano Judith Malafronte, soprano Ellen Hargis, accompanied by the harp consort Andrew Lawrence King conducting, the chorus of the Muses from La Púrpura de la Rosa by Tomás de Torrejón y Velasco. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. And that piece we just heard is a taste of what you can experience on January 27th and 29th if you can get yourself to the St. Cajetan Center on UCD's downtown Denver Auraria campus and catch a performance of this opera, produced by my two guests tonight, Frank Nowell, artistic director of the Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado, and his guest collaborator, Nell Snaitis. Nell, have you performed in Colorado before, or will this be your premiere?
In fact, the last out-of-town gig that I did before the world, you know, blew up in 2020 was with Frank, with Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado. We did a program. Frank, I don't know if you remember the name of it, but it was something. Once the pandemic hit, I thought, I can't believe that's the name of the last program we did. It was something like something at the end of the world. There was
end of the world,
wasn't
right?
it? This was with a great colleague of ours, an exceptional musicologist, Daniel Zuluaga, who's a Colombian musicologist and music director and a player of plucked instruments and just an incredible mind and musician. And so we did a little recital together with Adam Lamotte, violinist. Anyway, it was a small, beautiful little trio recital in a museum, right, Frank?
Yes, the Museo de las Americas, which is its beautiful, beautiful museum and such a lovely building that has such soul in it. And I thought it was just the perfect place for that concert. We had a wonderful audience. I think it was January of 2020.
Yes.
So
that's right.
Just a few weeks later, everything kind of fell apart.
It was a magical space because we were surrounded by all of this artwork from the Americas, and we were singing early music from Latin America, and it really was, it was moving, the exhibit. And a small side story was, on the way home, I stopped in the bathroom in the Denver airport, and there was a woman who was washing her hands like she was about to go into operate. And I thought, wow, that's, I believe in washing your hands, but that's pretty hardcore. Only to discover, she probably knew what was coming, and she was, had been paying more attention than certainly I had been. And she was already beginning that process of washing her hands the way we all started to just a month later, never forget it.
Speaking of magical venues, let's talk a little bit about where the Blood of the Rose is going to be performed on January 27th and January 29th. It's
St. Cajetan's Center on the Auraria campus. Earlier, it's a historical church, and the building is very well preserved like that, but it is now used as a conference center on the Auraria campus. We kind of centered on this venue because of its historical significance as really one of the centers of Hispanic life and culture in Denver. And it's also, I think, a magical space and one that will have a lot of meaning for this particular production in this opera. And also very timely that there's a lot of focus right now on what happened when the Auraria campus was built in, I believe, the 1970s, and the displacement of neighborhoods that happened, or of that neighborhood that occurred when the campus was built. And that's very much in the news right now and on people's minds. So we've asked someone who's involved in the efforts to revitalize the 9th Street houses that are on the campus. His name is Nolbert Chavez, and he will be involved in giving some pre-concert talks, and I'll probably interview him a little bit about the work he's doing. He's very excited about what's happening with raising this awareness and getting the community input and the input of the people who were part of this neighborhood involved in revitalizing that and renewing the community ties.
Let's talk about the composer, Tomás Torrejón y Velasco.
Pretty good, yeah.
Close enough?
Yeah.
So Torrejón y Velasco is from where?
He is Spanish, and he was asked to compose the opera by the Viceroy of Peru in honor of Felipe V's 18th birthday.
So he's a Spanish composer. The opera had been performed in Spain, I'm guessing?
Well, here's the intrigue, although I don't know if it's that interesting, but if you're interested in the musicological aspect of the history of this piece, is that it's credited to Torrejón y Velasco, but there was a production of Púrpura de la Rosa that was composed by, remember I was telling you about Juan Hidalgo, the harp player?
Yes.
So he had worked with one of the greatest playwrights of Spain, which Calderón de la Barca. The two of them were working on this opera called La Púrpura de la Rosa for Felipe IV. So that was performed, and certainly Torrejón y Velasco was around to hear it. So that happened, and there's for sure some of that music is in this version that is completely attributed to Torrejón y Velasco from 1701. So it's maybe a hybrid composition.
How about a remix? Can we call it a remix?
It's a mashup opera. He probably wrote the Loa, which is the prologue beforehand, which we will be performing, which is kind of in praise of the king. But he, in his own right, has just an unbelievable amount of gorgeous music that he wrote while in Peru, when he came from Spain to Peru. And he's written just the most gorgeous church music and villancicos. And so he's a tremendous composer to be explored.
I'm speaking this evening with Frank Nowell and Nell Snedis, who are producing two performances of La Púrpura de la Rosa on January 27 and 29 in Denver. Details and tickets at bcocolorado.org. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. And as we just discussed, the opera, La Púrpura de la Rosa, is something of a mashup. Here's an instrumental dance composed by the noted Baroque harpist Lucas Ruiz de Ribayas, which is part of the opera. Enjoy the ethereal quality of all those plucked instruments. Thank you. Andrew Lawrence King conducted the Harp Consort, performing a dance from La Púrpura de la Rosa. This section was composed by Lucas Ruiz de Ribeyes. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. And that piece is just a small taste of what awaits you on January 27th and 29th at the St. Cajetan Center on UCD's downtown Denver Auraria campus, when you can experience the full opera, The Blood of the Rose, which will be staged by the BCOC and my two guests tonight, Frank Nowell, Artistic Director of the Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado, and his guest collaborator, Nell Snaitis. And you live in New York, right?
Yes.
Because I see a lot of your musical things are happening in New York. In fact, Frank just told me you're also director of a early music series in New York.
Yes. GEMAS, Early Music of the Americas. And it is devoted to the early music of Latin America and musicians. Early music, so repertoire and artists of Latin America and Canada.
Wow, interesting.
It's sponsored by the America Society, which is a society that was started by John Rockefeller in like 65. And it was supposed to help promote, you know, kind of the other Americas. And so, you know, anytime any of the presidents come to town from Latin America, they often visit this building where it is on Park Avenue, just a beautiful historic building, and we have a lot of our concerts there. And we'll take a concert and find the best venue in the city for it. If that happens to be a salon, then we do it there. But we do it. We've done a lot of events at the Hispanic Society, which is a beautiful library and museum on 155th Street. Sometimes we do things, you know, like in situ outside. It just depends what the project requires.
Now, 2023, you'll also be performing at Carnegie Hall with El Mundo, or
yes,
is that,
that's
or,
with
or
El
not?
Mundo and Jennifer Ellis Campani, who is our Adonis. So we have I guess I think it was last year we came out with a CD called the Archivo de Guatemala, which is all music from the Guatemala Cathedral. 18th and 17th century Latin American repertoire, and some from Spain, because it's all about what music is in the archive there. So that came out, I think, last year. And then in February, basically right after we do this project together, Jenny will come to New York and we'll perform at Carnegie Hall together.
Now, Jennifer lives in LA, right?
Yes, and she's on faculty at USC there.
But she regularly performs with El Mundo.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado, Frank, where your concertmaster lives in Amsterdam and your principal second lives in Chicago. Does he still live?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have most of our people are in Colorado, but we have several regulars in the group who come in from, as you mentioned, all over the world. But I don't know. It seems to be something about the early music world, is that we move around not only nationally but internationally, and it's really fun and satisfying to work with people from different cities, and I think it makes it a richer musical scene.
Yeah, it's in fact not uncommon. A lot of groups, you travel around and you work with all these different people and you just kind of find who all your favorites are. And then when you have your own opportunity, you bring them in to work with you. And it makes for great music and great alchemy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the cast. Jennifer Ellis Campani, I hope I'm saying that right, is going to be performing Adonis. Now, Nell, this is someone that you've performed with extensively, both in El Mundo, and you're going to be collaborating in a few months at Carnegie Hall. Could you tell us a little bit about the role of Adonis, maybe a little bit about Jennifer?
Well, very quickly, the operas that were performed in Spain at this time, and then, you know, any opera in Latin America that is based on the Spanish form, they were performed by women. They had, at court, they really did not favor having countertenors or male singers, so that already this was a tradition of female, excellent female singers and actresses. There were, you know, fine actresses at court that also sang. And so this is scored for women, all women. There's one comic role that's a tenor, but the rest, is four-part all-female harmony. And so Adonis was sung by a woman and is sung by a woman in our production as well. And what's so lovely about that is if you listen to some of the great Monteverdi operas like the Incoronation of Poppea, that when you have this tradition of two treble voices singing together in thirds, that's the two leads are treble voices. There's nothing like the sound of just two treble voices in thirds or sixths, or that the close harmony is so lovely. So we also have this strong cast of incredible women artists, both from Colorado and from outside of Colorado. Jennifer Ellis Campani, who I will call Jenny from now on because that's what we call her, has a remarkable range. She's a soprano, but she has the depth of the lowest mezzo. She can sing low and high. It's all even and rich with a little bit of a chocolatey quality to her sound. And she also brings incredible pathos to her singing. So she's spunky, so she can really pull off something that needs a little bit of sass. She came up through San Francisco and as a child trained with the San Francisco Girls Chorus. So she's really, her musicianship is deep. I mean, she can read anything and she's just a tremendous musician and colleague and great on stage. And we've been in operas together where she's played a pants role, and I'm telling you, she just morphs in the best way you can imagine. So when Frank first came to me with the project, and he kind of said, "What do you want to do? Do you want to sing in it? Do you want to direct it? What do you think?" And I thought, if I direct it, I don't want to sing in it because I want to be able to really step back and let it happen. That's maybe a little too crazy for me to do everything. And there's so many great people. So definitely, I asked Frank about Jenny and he said, "Oh, Jenny, we love Jenny here. The audiences love Jenny here because everyone loves Jenny." So that was the first obvious choice for the opera.
And then Venus is sung by Guadalupe Peraza.
Yes.
Is Guadalupe another artist that you both have experience with?
Or? No, I just met Guadalupe this year, and we actually met for coffee a few weeks ago. She's living in New York for quite some time. We both were scratching our heads at how we hadn't found each other yet. She is a Mexican mezzo-soprano, just luscious, gorgeous voice. But a voice that also has, can move beautifully with ornamentation and coloratura. She's from Mexico, so Spanish is her first language. I listened to several clips of her singing and was just blown away by her artistry and the sound of her voice and the flexibility of her musicianship. And then it turned out that my producing partner at the America Society said, "Oh, hey, this girl, Guadalupe Peraza, we're doing a show with her in November. So it turned out that he was presenting her new group, which is called not Metamorphosis, but Mexamorphosis. And it is a combination of traditional Mexican music and classical music, but also employs a cora player, African cora, and music of Son Jarocho from Jalapa. And so I was able to hear her live and was just blown away by her singing and her incredibly engaging stage presence. She's also gorgeous. So for Venus, that doesn't hurt.
We're very fortunate to have a wonderful cast that includes people both from Colorado, locally here, and from around the country. And Colorado artists include mezzo-soprano Kristen Gornstein, who will play Mars, the god of war. And then we also have Joseph Gaines playing the role of Chato, tenor. and a wonderful group of four sopranos and mezzo-sopranos, M.B. Kruger, Daniela Guzman, Hannah McGinty, and Ingrid Johnson.
Ingrid Johnson will be playing the role of Amor, who is the son of Venus and Mars. Intrigue. Mars is just spitting mad with jealousy over the, you know, attraction between Venus and Adonis. And then Daniela Guzman will be playing the role of Selfa, who is a sassy local gal who is married to her husband, who she and her husband are having some marital problems, and that's played by, as Frank mentioned, Joe Gaines, who was in New York for many years, and he's a tremendous singer, actor. I'll never forget, you know, several different productions I saw him in and thought, whoa, where did they find this guy? And sure enough, when we were talking about casting, Frank said, you know, there's this tenor here. I think he might be really good for that. There's this cameo, you know, comic tenor role. And when he said Joe Gaines, I think I screamed because I was so excited that we would get to work together. And he really is perfect.
So we've got Venus, who with Mars sired Amor. And now Venus and Adonis have a thing. We talk a little bit about how that goes, or should we leave it to the performance?
Let's put it this way. Venus is a god, Mars is a god, and Adonis is mortal. So, you know, do the math.
That never goes well.
It doesn't go well for Adonis.
Oh, poor Adonis.
But there's, you know, there may be a surprise at the end. So I'm not giving away the whole story here.
And what's the meaning of the blood of the rose? Is the rose a symbol that's used throughout the opera? How does that work in?
It's a great question, and we were just talking about this earlier, that there's a little bit of a spoiler in it, but the blood that colors the rose, purpura, which is kind of the color of crimson or the color of blood, that blood is the blood of Adonis. And so it is la púrpura de la rosa is the sangre of Adonis.
Spoiler alert.
So anyway, just, you know, not all wounds are mortal, but some are.
Frank Nowell and Nell Sinaitis, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Frank Nowell is the artistic director of the Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado. Nell Sinaitis is a soprano, Renaissance guitarist, and stage director based in New York City. Together they are producing two performances of La Púrpura de la Rosa on Friday, January 27, and Sunday, January 29 in Denver. Details and tickets at bcocolorado.org. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. La Púrpura de la Rosa is the story of Venus and Adonis. The BCOC's upcoming staging features soprano Jennifer Ellis Campani as Adonis. Here she is singing a Handel aria from his only Spanish-language cantata.
Come on.
soprano Jennifer Ellis Campani, accompanied by El Mundo, under the direction of Richard Savino, performed the aria No se emendara jamás from Cantata Spaniola by George Friedrich Handel. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. Jennifer Campani, whom we just heard, will be singing the role of Adonis in the upcoming BCOC staging of The Blood of the Rose on January 27 and 29. Details and tickets at bcocolorado.org. The Blood of the Rose is the love story between Adonis and Venus, and also in this month's staging is this next mezzo-soprano, Guadalupe Paraza, who will be singing the role of Venus. Here she is singing a Barbara Stozzi aria.
Thank you.
Mezzo-soprano Guadalupe Peraza, accompanied by Charles Weaver on the theorbo and Arnie Tanimoto on viola da gamba, performing the Amorous Heraclitus by Barbara Strozzi. Well, that's it for me, Gary McBride. Hope you've enjoyed another Opera Box and will join us every Monday evening from 7 to 8 right here on KGNU. Thanks again to my guests this evening, the Baroque Chamber Orchestra of Colorado's Frank Nowell and Nell Snedis. Please stay tuned for A Classic Monday up next.
Support comes from Social Venture Partners of Boulder County, sharing the expertise and skills of partner members to help Boulder County nonprofit organizations build their capacity and deliver on their missions. Details on how to partner with Social Venture Partners can be found at socialventurepartnersbouldercounty.org.
Support comes as well from the Paramount Theater in downtown Denver, celebrating the 25th anniversary of the instrumental ensemble Jazz is Dead by honoring the 50th anniversary of the Grateful Dead's Wake of the Flood. Jazz is Dead on Sunday, January 15th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets at ParamountDenver.com. Additional support comes from the Caribou Room, a live music venue and event center located in Nederland. Ticket information and more, including events, at thecariboutroom.com. You're listening to KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. It's 8 o'clock, and our classical music lineup continues with A Classic Monday.